What Jesus does is he gives them perspective so that they are not surprised by the inevitable. He says, I want you to have a realistic perspective about what's about to happen. He teaches them how to respond to people that won't listen. He says, before you leave, I want to tell you what to do when people don't listen. He says, I know you got power, but they're still not going to listen. I know you got a great plan, but some people still are not going to listen. And I know I'm going to tell you what to preach, and you're going to say what I told you to say, and some people still aren't going to listen. And Jesus can say this to the disciples because he's got experience with it, because he said, they ain't listening to me. And I don't know if we have the perspective Jesus is trying to give his disciples, because I think that we think if we got power, a plan, and what to preach, people are always going to listen. Some people you love will not listen. Some teenagers won't listen. Some spouses won't listen. Some parents won't listen. Some siblings won't listen. Some friends won't listen. Some co-workers won't listen. Jesus tells his disciples this so they aren't surprised when people don't listen, so that they don't take the rejection personally. Because it can make us bitter with us and bitter with God. Looking up to God, asking, Lord, what's up with this? Why aren't they listening? He tells the disciples, when you are not listened to, this is what you do. He says, I want you to go out into the middle of the street and I want you to shake the dust off your feet. Well, first of all, he says, if it's not a peaceable situation, when you're trying to help people and it turns hostile, he says, get your peace back. Can I go here? Because sometimes we left our peace somewhere and we need to go back to 2016 and get it back. Some people's peace is in their last relationship. Some people's peace is at your last job. So, oh my goodness. Some people's peace is in 2018. Jesus said, we must take responsibility to get your peace back. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want to encourage somebody to go back to wherever you left your peace and say, I left something. This belongs to me. You can keep the clothes, but I need my peace. I need my peace. Yeah, I'm still trying to find the peace of me. I can live without that, but I can't live without peace. Jesus said, you better get that back. Return to sender. Hallelujah. Because if I got my peace, I can get more clothes. If I got my peace, I can find another place. If I got my peace, I can get another job. If I got my peace, I can walk through another door. The same God that gave it to me the first time is the God of restoration, is the God of redemption. I can get that back, but I need my peace. And then Jesus says, go out in the street, and he says, shake the dust off your feet. It's a metaphor. It's a symbol. He's saying, don't track the dirt of rejection from one village into the next one. He said, it's no way you can be rejected and the dirt not get on you. He says, just make sure it don't stay on you. Bitterness may get on you, but make sure it doesn't stay. Anger may get on us, but make sure it doesn't stay. The spirit of retaliation may rise up in us, but make sure it doesn't stay. Just look at him and say to yourself, if I was like you, you'd be in trouble. But since I'm not like you, I'm going to let you live, even though I could kill you right now. Let me go over here. Yeah, because what I do to you says more about me than it does about you. I'm going to let you live. I'm going to put this tea right back in the refrigerator, because if I would spill this tea, it would really be a mess. But because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, I'm going to let you live. Yeah, it'll get on you, but Jesus says, you got to shake it off. Because if not, you would carry the residue of rejection from one village into the next. And even though some people don't know how to appreciate it, there are some other people that are waiting on it. Jesus is saying, I need you to go to the next village, because there's some people that's been praying for what other people have been taking for granted. Some people waiting on somebody like you to come into their life because they've been through enough to appreciate you when you get there. And Jesus is saying, you go to the next village, not because you can't help those people. He's saying you go to the next village because maybe those people aren't supposed to be helped by you. This isn't for us. This is for the disciples in the text. But for the disciples in the text, maybe Jesus is teaching them that you don't get to pick your assignment. You did not call yourself, and you don't get to pick who you call to. That your ability to help someone is an ability I gave to you, and then I determine who you use it on. Because if I let you, this is not us, this is for the disciples in the text. Because if I let you pick who you use it on, you'll probably just use it on friends and family. And your oil will go no further than your own house. And maybe Jesus is telling the disciples in the text that you help people that I care about, and then I'll make sure I help the people you care about. He's trying to get them to embrace the reality of limitations, that there are some people that are not open. And when you try to force openness, you move out of ministry into manipulation. You move out of calling into control. And there's a word that the Old Testament uses to describe people who are obsessively controlling, forceful, and manipulative, even with good intentions. The Old Testament uses a word called witchcraft. In the Bible, witchcraft is not an old lady with a black hat and a broom stirring broth. It's biblical characters like Jezebel who try to manipulate outcomes so that things turn out the way they think they should turn out. You see, Jesus is not encouraging us to give up on people or to stop helping people. What he's doing is he's trying to rescue us from allowing the rejection from trying to help some people to infect us to the degree that we become so bitter that we don't help others. It means to have a commitment to help people that's so deep that you don't give up on people, but you give people up. Did you catch what I just said? Jesus isn't saying give up on people. He says, but there comes a time where you got to give people up, where you got to see, I have done all that is in my power to do this way. So I'm going to put you in somebody else's hands that's wiser than mine. And I'm going to believe God, like the father of the prodigal son, that God's going to protect you even in your silly season. That, oh my goodness, that grace is a companion that never jumps out the car, even when stuck on stupid is driving the car. Is there anybody here that can testify grace stayed in the car with you when it should have got out? That God protected you when you placed yourself in situations and seasons that made you vulnerable? Maybe some of us made all the right decisions and made all the right choices, but I believe there are a few people who are seated in this sacred space to say, grace covered me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. It's grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Grace.